You know, there's a whole lot of folks that I continually hear about that tell me that the world is getting bad, and it is, and there's so much going on. But again, the message of the gospel is needed more than it's ever been needed before. The time is shorter, the need is greater. Maybe in some places people are less receptive, but the need is still there. Thank God for that. Well, it's a wonderful joy to have each of you. As already mentioned, it is good to have Hunter and Mia Mobley right here, newlyweds on the second pew. Boy, it doesn't get any better than that, I tell you. I mean, I don't expect the first pew. I mean, only crazy people sit up here. And but praise the Lord. And so we're so wonderfully blessed, and we're thankful for them being in church this morning, just married a few weeks ago, and here they are. Well, I'm privileged to introduce to you my friend, Gabe Rule. Brother Gabe and Miss Susanna Rule are here as our guests this weekend. They did a wonderful job training yesterday some of our workers, and we're thankful that they could come and be with us. They're from Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Chico, California, and we love Brother Gabe. We love he's got a wonderful family. His dad's a faithful preacher, and I mentioned to some people he's one of my children's favorite pastor, and sometimes you worry about that when your kids say, oh, he's my favorite preacher, and Brother Johnny Pope is another one, and so I said, well, where am I at on that list? Oh, Dad, you're somewhere on the list. I thought, oh, that sounds good. I said, wait a minute. Somewhere on the list could be the last on the list. But Brother Tim Rule, Brother Gabe's dad, is a great blessing to our family. And then God has used Brother Gabriel in my life, and he's one of our favorites as well. So I'm certainly thankful for him and the work that he does, not only at the church there, but then speaking at other conferences and things. And so it's a blessing to have Brother Gabriel and Susanna here with us today. And we're from California, so give him a break. He got a tie on. He didn't bring a drum set with him. He didn't bring anything with him. I know how all those churches do out there. I understand. But all jokes aside, he is trying his hardest to reach as many people with the gospel and preaches the King James Bible and keeps a good line of where the church is going forward to try to be a light in a dark world. All those jokes aside, he's a wonderful brother, and he's doing a great job out there. And I'm privileged to have him as my friend, but I'm also privileged to have him here at Buffalo Ridge. Brother Gabe, why don't you come preach to us? We're certainly thankful that you're here, and I know that you'll be a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you. What a joy to be here. Take your Bibles, Joshua chapter number 7, Joshua chapter number 5, excuse me, and a blessing to be here this morning back at Buffalo Ridge, and appreciate your pastor, his friendship, his family, and we always look forward to being here. You know, when you pastor in California, it's just good to go back to America from time to time, and we've been on the mission field, and so it's good to be here, and there was nice people that we met since we've been here, and that's been great, but we love serving in California. And California is a mission field. California, Oregon, Washington, some of the most unchurched population groups that we have in our country. And it's exciting to be there and to be a part of a church and to see people saved and growing in grace and lives being changed. And it's a thrill. We cover your prayers. We're thankful for what God is doing. It's a joy to be here. I enjoyed yesterday the time with the workers and the staff. And then here today, church family is always so gracious and kind, and the meals, the wonderful place that we're staying, and Pastor, just appreciate you, and you've got a wonderful pastor here at Buffalo Ridge, and I'm thankful for your pastor, his testimony, his spirit, and he's so kind and friendly, and he's just has time for people, and you can tell there's a genuine care that he has for you, and you're blessed to have that. You know, I was thinking yesterday when I was talking with the workers and hearing about, I think 18 weeks ago, you went to 2 services, and you pray for us. We want to go 2 services beginning in January, and just what God is doing here. And I was sharing with some of our leaders back at our church a few weeks ago, 85% of all churches in the United States of America are stagnant or in decline. You are a part of a growing church. That is not the norm. That is not the trend. And that's exciting. It's a thrill to be a part of a place that's growing and new people are being added. And we have to do 2 services and we need to expand a gymnasium and this or that or whatever the Lord may lead. And I hope and pray that as you come, you don't just take it for granted. That's an exciting thing that God is doing, and it's a thrill, it's an encouragement, and you're to be commended for following the vision of your pastor as he follows the Lord, and it's neat to see what God is doing here. Congratulations, Preacher Lashley, on your 70 years. I remember being here 3 years ago preaching Brother Daniel's ordination, and we did the ordination council together, and I just felt like, what am I doing in this room? You know, here was all of these seasoned veteran men of God, and I just was listening, and Preacher Lashley, the things you shared in that room, I have never forgotten, and I appreciate your testimony, your faithfulness unto the Lord, and just your joy, just watching you sing that song about the Bible. I had never heard it. I enjoyed singing it, but I really enjoyed watching you sing it, to be honest with you, and that was a lot of fun this morning, so thank the Lord for that. Well, Joshua chapter number 5 this morning, and look with me if you would at verse number 13. Now, as I'm thinking through the day, we're having church now. Church tonight is at 6:30, I understand, and I'm praying about this message and that one, and to be honest with you, I'm a little bit more excited about tonight than I am this morning. So what I mean by that is you got to come back at 6:30, and if you can only do one service today, when I pray, you leave. Come back at 6:30 and be a part of that service. I think it'll be an encouragement and a blessing and a help to you, but I hope that this one will be as well. Joshua 5 and verse number 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy, and Joshua did so. I'd like to preach a message this morning entitled, Victory, God's Way. God did not just come to give life, he came to give it more abundant. God wants you to live a victorious Christian life. Now, a victorious Christian life is going to look different than the way that the world would interpret victory or success. But in the eyes of the Lord and the light of eternity, God wants you to experience a victorious Christian life. God does not want you and I living a life that is defeated and from time to time be surprised by victory. No, God wants you and I to live a life of victory and from time to time be surprised by defeat. And that's possible in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's possible with His Word and by His Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have victory. There was a mom and she was preparing dinner and she told her son, 5 years old, that she needed a can of tomato soup if he would go to the pantry and get one for her. They had a large pantry kind of down in the basement. And he said, Mom, I'm so scared to go down there. It's so dark. I don't want to go. And she said, oh, honey, you'll be fine. There's nothing to be scared of. There, go down in the pantry and get me a can of tomato soup. And he said, Mom, I just don't think I can do it. It's really dark down there and it's really scary to go down there. And she said, son, don't worry about it. The Lord will be with you. He had a hard time arguing that one. So he said, okay, Mom, I'm going to go. And he went down there to the pantry. And sure enough, he opened that door and it was pitch black in there. You couldn't see anything all the way in the back where he knew the cans were. And he thought, man, I kind of scared. I don't really want to go. And then he kind of chickened out. Wasn't going to go in there and get that can of soup. And just at the last minute, he kind of looked in there and he said, Lord, if you're in there, will you hand me that can of tomato soup? And you know, sometimes in life we kind of wonder, Lord, are you here? Lord, can you hear me? Lord, are you seeing all of this? Do you know what it is that I'm going through? Do you know what's happening to me? And we want to be mindful of the fact that we can have victory, but it's going to require God to be right in the middle of it all. So I'm going to give you 5 simple steps this morning to having victory in your life. First of all, if you're going to have a victorious Christian life, you must make sure that God is in charge. That God is in charge of your life. Now, Joshua was a great leader. Joshua was one of the 2 spies. The first time they went to the promised land, that came back and said, we can do it. Man, that land is flowing with milk and honey, and God has given it to us, and let's go. And the people listened to the other 10, and that's a different story. Joshua was a wonderful leader. He was a man of faith. And now they were conquering the promised land. Now it was time to occupy the land that God had given to them. And it was going to begin with this conquest of this city, Jericho, that they were going to take. And no doubt they had done some planning. They had done some reconnaissance. They were ready to go and to conquer that city. And now Joshua is out and maybe just going through those thoughts in his mind and preparing to ready the troops and to go and to conquer the land of Jericho. And you and I read that while he was out, he saw a man who had a sword drawn. When a sword is unsheathed, that means you better know, you know, is this guy in your corner or not? And that's what Joshua asked, are you for us or for our adversaries? Are you friend or foe? And the Lord said, nay or neither. And you know, it's interesting, when God comes on the scene, God doesn't come to take sides, he comes to take over. Sometimes when you and I pray, we pray, God, here's all the things I want. Can you make sure that happens? We want God on our side. And God isn't looking to be on your side or my side. God is looking to take over. God wants to be the Lord of our life. He wants to be in charge. He wants you and I to be surrendered and submitted to him. And that's exactly the response that Joshua had. Lord, he worshiped him. He bowed to him. What saith the Lord to your servant? And he took off his shoes, and it was holy ground, and it was a time of worship unto the Lord. And here we had a theophany, 1400 years before Christ was born of a virgin in a manger. Here he appears before Joshua, and Joshua reverences him. Joshua acknowledges he is the Lord, and indeed he is in charge. Is the Lord of your life? Is God in charge of your life? Is he illuminating your steps? Is he directing your course? Is what you're doing today, you're doing it because that's what the Lord wants? God's got to be in charge. But secondly, I see in this story that we must believe that God's way is always correct. Now watch this story as it unfolds between the Lord and Joshua in chapter 6 and verse number 3. Here's the Lord telling Joshua how they're going to conquer the city of Jericho. Verse 3. And ye shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpet of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So no doubt Joshua and his generals and his captains of the army have done the reconnaissance. They've done the planning. They've got a battle plan ready to implement to take the city of Jericho. The Lord comes on the scene. Joshua says, I submit, Lord, what would you have your servant to do? And the Lord tells Joshua, I've given you the city of Jericho. The victory is mine. I'm telling you, you're going to win. Thank you, Lord. That's good affirmation. That's a blessing. Boy, we're going to go into this a little more confidently. Thank you. That's not all, Joshua. Hang on. Yes, you're going to win, but I want to tell you how you're going to do it. Okay? What do you got? I want you to get everybody together. Yeah, I've got them. We got all the soldiers. We've got them broken up into groups and infantry and all this. We're ready to go. No, that's not what I meant. I want you to get all of them together. Men, women, and children. And then I want you to tell them when it's time to walk around the city. Okay? And Lord, when we walk around the city, what are we going to do? We just walk. All right? I want you to do that 1 time, 6 days in a row. Okay? Then on the 7th day, I want you to tell them to do it 7 times in a row. And at the end of that, I want you to tell the priests to blow with the ram's horns. And after they hear that, I want you to tell the people to shout. And after that happens, I'm going to knock down the walls. And then you go in. That's how we're going to do it. Okay, Lord. Never heard of that before. Never seen it done quite that way, Lord. Are you sure? And that's exactly the way that God wanted it done. And Joshua had to come to a place in his own heart that he said, okay, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. And I love it because it couldn't just be Joshua that believed that. He had to go back and tell everybody else about it. In my mind's eye, I can see the encampment of the Israelites, and they're right there on the precipice to take the promised land. And maybe in the middle of that camp, there's a huge tent, and in there's kind of the war room, and there's some tables, and there's some parchments, and there's some maps, and there's all of the research and reconnaissance and planning that have been done. And now they're going to take Jericho, they're going to take Ai. I mean, they're going to conquer these cities, they're going to take the promised land. And Joshua walks into that tent, and there are all of the generals and the captains of the host of the army, and they're looking at Joshua. This is the final walkthrough before they put the battle plan into array. And Joshua has to look at them and say, hey, guys, slight change of plans. I was out last night, and I talked with the Lord. And what we've decided is we're going to gather everybody. And when we tell them, we're going to walk around the city. And then when we tell them, they're going to shout. And when they do that, God's going to knock the walls down. And then when he does that, we're going to go in. And all of those guys had to say, Joshua, are you sure? We've never heard it like that. We've never seen that. We've not read that in any of the military manuals of the day. Are you sure? And Joshua was sure because the Lord was sure. And they were sure because their leader was sure, and that's exactly what they did. If you and I are going to experience victory in our life, we have got to agree, we have got to believe, we have got to trust God's way indeed is correct. It is best. There's going to be a lot of things about this word that we may not entirely understand. How is it that I can do more with 90% of my income than 100% of my income? That makes no sense at all. I can do a lot more with 100%, not according to the Bible. I'm to give the first 10% to the Lord through my local New Testament church. And then with only 90% remaining, I'm going to be blessed. And God is going to meet my needs. Now, that doesn't make any sense, but it works. How is it that we can have joy when the world has sorrow? How is it that we can have peace when everyone else is glued to the television and wondering what's going to happen in Gaza today? How is it that we can have all of that? That doesn't make any sense because it's God's way. And God promises that we can. And he's got to be the Lord of our life. And we've got to have faith in him. But I want you to see something cool about this story. In chapter 6 and verse number 10, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. Now, when Joshua tells the people what they're going to do, and they're all like, what? We're all going to help, and we're all going to walk, and what is that going to do? He says, oh, hey, by the way, there's another detail you need to know. When we walk around the city of Jericho, nobody can shout till I tell you. And when we're walking around Jericho, nobody can say anything. Everybody's got to be quiet. Nobody say a word. Now, maybe it's just the way I think and read the Bible. But if I'm in this group and I'm told, get up, we're going to go walk around Jericho, and I've got my wife, and I've got my four kids, and we're walking around Jericho, we're doing what we're told, but we've been told, don't say a thing. And so we do that day one. And day two, we get up, and we're told to do it again, and we do it again. And day three, we do it, and so on. I don't know about you, I think I'd be walking around this wall going, this isn't working. I don't see anything happening. The people of Jericho are not scared. The wall doesn't look like it's coming down. In fact, I can't see one brick more loose today than yesterday. I think we are wasting our time. Now, some of you in here struggle like I do with patience. I've learned not to pray for patience. We like things like this, and getting things done. And sometimes we have to learn that if we're going to experience victory, that God at times works covertly. That at times when we don't see, at times when we don't understand, at times when we don't agree, that God is always at work for our good. Years ago, I was making a follow-up visit on a family that had visited our church and had some teens, and I was working with the youth at the time, and we had an appointment. We went to the home, and we got there, and some of the family members weren't there, and it was kind of disappointing, and they said, could you come back and talk to everybody at one time? And we said, sure. I had a partner with me. His name was Scott, and it was kind of a bummer. We were really looking forward to that visit. We thought it'd be an opportunity to witness to him, and it just didn't pan out. And I told Scott, well, let's just knock the doors on the street while we're here. Maybe that's what we're supposed to do. So we knocked our neighbors, went down to the end of the street, crossed over the street, kind of knocking this way, and just inviting people to church, telling them about the Lord. And we got kind of right across the street from where their home was, and there was kind of a mini apartment complex, maybe five or six doors, all single story, kind of one right after the other in a row. So we started knocking those, and Scott and I kind of back and forth. And I could see at the end of that apartment complex, there was a lady kind of outside. There were some kids running around in the front yard. And so we got all the way down there, and I started talking with her. And I introduced myself. Her name was Danielle, and we began to talk, and I began to invite her to church. And, you know, if you've ever invited someone to church, when you hand them the tract, if they start reading it, that means they're interested. That means you keep talking. And so I'm talking to her about church, and is she interested? And she was, and began to talk to her about that, began to invite her. She seemed interested in wanting to come. And that was great. And then I said, you know, Danielle, even more important than going to church is to know for sure where you're going to spend an eternity. And if you were to face eternity, if you were to die today, do you know for sure where you would go? And she said, I don't. I said, if I could share with you from the Bible how you can know for sure heaven's your home, would you like to know? And she said, I would. And we sat down right there. It was just a little concrete step right in front of her front door. We just sat down right there. Scott was there at the time, and some kids were playing. And I began to share with her the gospel and how she could know for sure that Jesus Christ was her Savior and heaven was her home. And we went through all of that, that none of us are perfect. We all are sinners, and that all of us deserve an eternity in hell away from God. But God loved us, and Jesus died for us, and he paid for our sins, and that we can place our faith and trust in him and ask him to be our Savior and pay for our sins. And according to God's word, we can spend an eternity in heaven through Jesus Christ. And I shared that with Danielle. And I said, Danielle, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And she said, I would. And we knelt our heads and we prayed and she prayed. And it was a wonderful moment of decision as she placed her faith and trust in Christ, now knowing him as Savior and heaven as her home. And we concluded that I was sharing a couple things by way of assurance with her. And Danielle started to cry. And that's not entirely unusual. Sometimes people are quite excited about the things of the Lord in that way. And so she was crying, and I was rejoicing with her. Danielle isn't this wonderful, but she kind of really started crying. Now, I'm married, and I have three girls, so I've been around a little bit of that, you know. But this was kind of like, okay, something's going on here. And I said, hey, Danielle, are you okay? And she said, yeah, I just can't believe it. I said, believe what? She said, you don't know this, but my husband is in prison. The kids and I last night went to visit him, and the kids were in a room so that I could be with him, and we were across a table, and he was chained to the table there, and we were communicating and talking about our lives and how things really aren't going very well. And he said to me, he said, Danielle, we need to change. And she said, I agree, but we didn't really know what that meant or how. And then he said something that surprised me. He said, I think we need to go to church. She said, now that shocked me because neither one of us have ever been to church before, ever. But I think he's heard something about it. He thinks it will help us. And so we decided, okay, we're going to go to church. And then before I left, he said, let's pray. She said, now that shocked me because we've never prayed before. But he said, let's pray. And he prayed. And he prayed that we would start going to church. And I drove home late last night wondering, what does that mean? And how am I going to find a church? And what is this going to do? And I don't understand all of this. And I was out here this morning thinking about that and thinking about my husband in prison. And the kids are out here in the yard. And then you showed up and you invited us to church. And I said, Danielle, you want to hear something cool? I'm not even supposed to be here right now. I'm supposed to be across the street visiting with another family that I had an appointment with. And they bailed. But you know what it means? It means I'm actually supposed to be here. Because God ordained and orchestrated that I would come here for you, to talk to you, to invite you to church, and to tell you this morning that Jesus loves you. What does that remind you and I of? That Jesus is always at work. And we've got to trust in him in that. But then I want you to see what God does in this victory. In verse number 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass, finally, at the seventh time on that seventh day, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And notice this in verse number 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Exactly what Joshua said was going to happen, happened. Finally, they were told, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Finally, they were said, shout, and they did. And God knocked down the walls of that city. They watched God wrought a miracle, and they got to go in and take the city. The great battle of the city of Jericho. We're still talking about it today. Why is it that God gave them that great victory? Well, Joshua had to settle that the Lord was the Lord of his life. They had to trust God's way of doing it. It was very different. They had to believe that God was at work, even when they couldn't see it or understand it. But then God rewarded their courage. In the moment of conflict, when Joshua said to shout, they shouted, and God honored that, and God knocked down the wall, and God gave them the city. You say, Pastor Gabe, what exactly did they do that was so courageous? As far as I know, the only thing we've learned this morning is they walked and they shouted. You're right. You're like, I can do that. You're absolutely right. That's all they did. They walked and they shouted, and all of us can do that in this room this morning as well. So what courageous thing did God bless them for? Why did God give them this great victory in Jericho? I'll tell you why. God blessed their obedience. The courageous thing that these people did was they courageously obeyed. They obeyed God. When it didn't make sense, when it wasn't their plan, when it wasn't what they had thought, when it wasn't what they anticipated, when it wasn't going the way they thought it was going to go, they just said, you know what? I can't go wrong saying yes to God. I'm just going to obey Him. And indeed they did, and God gave them a great victory. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you courageously obeying God today? Is your life being lived in obedience to God? You say, Pastor Gabe, I'm in church. That's not what I asked, but I'm glad you're here. Pastor Gabe, I gave money in the plate this morning. I'm glad you did, but that's not what I asked. I sang that song with Pastor Leslie a moment ago, and I even waved a Bible. That's awesome. Not what I asked. Are you living in obedience to God today? What God has told you to do, are you doing it? Dr. Alan Redpath, in his book on this story, said, the reason most people don't experience victory is because they stop walking too soon. They're on that seventh day, and they're on lap number one, and they're on lap number two, and the people of Jericho up there on the wall, and they've got their lawn chairs, and they've got their popcorn, and they're going around, and they're being obedient, and they're not saying anything, and they're like, this is a waste of time. This is crazy. Nobody does it like this anymore. I'm not going to stay. This isn't accomplishing anything. And they leave, and they quit, and they stop walking, and they stop following, and they stop obeying, and they get home to their tent just about in time to hear this ram's horn blast, and just about in time to hear this great shout from all these people. And then from the crack of the tent, they can see kind of the rubble and the smoke because the walls are down, and they missed that victory, and they missed it because they stopped walking. And church, can I encourage you this morning, keep walking. Keep going forward. Keep looking to the Lord. Keep obeying Him. It's always too soon to quit. Keep going. Let Preacher Lashley's legacy of 70 years and being in church this morning and taking the blessed book and waving it with joy be a testament to you and I that that's what we want our life to be, faithful unto the Lord. Not only must we be courageous, but we must remember, lastly, that He's coming again. Notice this in verse number 17 of chapter 6. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And notice the response to this in verse number 21. The Bible says, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go in unto the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Hey, God is coming again. But of all the inhabitants of Jericho, one was spared. Who? Rahab, the harlot, and her family. Why? Because she believed God. Now you read verse 21 and you're like, wow, all the men, women, and children. That's kind of severe. Well, they all had the same opportunity Rahab did to believe, and they didn't. In fact, you study the story, they had four generations of opportunity to believe in God, and they did not. And then the day of battle came. Friend, the trumpet's going to sound soon. I don't know when, but it's never been sooner than it is today. I'm telling you that. Who needs to hear about Jesus from you? Who needs to know that God loves them that you could tell? Let's determine this morning we're going to live a life of victory. How do we accomplish that exactly? He's in charge. Is He the Lord of your life? Are you surrendered to Him? His way is always correct. At times it's going to be, I didn't think about that. I don't know about that, Lord. I'm not so sure. We just got to trust Him. And remember, sometimes He works covertly. In that dark hour, when you're wondering, where are you? He's there. He's there. Just trust in Him. He's at work. He will reward your faithfulness. Let's be courageous in our obedience. Let's not let this wicked world get us sidetracked or discouraged. Let's keep our eyes on Him and keep walking. Keep staying faithful. Keep going forward. Why? Because one day we will hear that trumpet sound. And when we do, we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So finish well. And don't finish alone. Look for someone else this week that you can tell. Share with them what God is doing in your life, because God loves them and God wants them to know as well. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You, Lord, for Your precious word. Lord, we thank You for these simple thoughts about a victorious life. And Lord, we know that You desire us to live in victory. That's not to say it's going to be easy, but You want us to know You at work in and through us. And I pray that would be our testimony today. I pray that we would examine these simple thoughts and steps, and that we would evaluate, is this how we're living today? Are we experiencing victory? Are we living in obedience to God? Are we trusting Him? Are we continuously walking and being faithful no matter what? And Lord, I do pray if there be anyone here that does not know You as Savior, that today they would place their faith and trust in You, that their life would be eternally changed. And I pray that all of us would leave here today desiring to know victory Your way. Would You help us to live in obedience, just to simply trust and obey? Pastor.
As we continue to pray, perhaps the Lord has done a great work in your heart. I wrote down what Brother Rule said, and that was that when God comes on the scene, He doesn't come to take sides, He comes to take over. And I'm imagining that there's some folks right here, there has to be, that you want to throw up your hands and surrender and say, okay, Lord, I give up. I've been trying to do it my way. I've been trying to give You my game plan, my battle plan, but I'm going to just go ahead and let You have Your will and Your way. And then I think there has to be some folks who have stopped on that second or third or fourth or fifth trip around the walls. And maybe this morning the Lord has come in, slipped in, the sweet Holy Ghost of God has come in and just nudged you to say, better get back out there. Let's start making trips around those walls again. God wants to do great things in each one of our lives. I'm convinced of it. Whatever the Lord has led you to do, I trust that you'd be faithful to do it to Him. And maybe you're here this morning, and as you found yourself in the situation with Danielle, the young lady that he had talked about, and as he mentioned what he told her about the need of salvation, and you said, that's me. He told her about our sinful condition. You said, that's me. But he told also about that Jesus Christ died on the cross for her and for you, and you said, praise the Lord. Maybe you'd like to accept Christ as your Savior today as well. Whatever your need is, I trust that you do business with the Lord. As our ladies begin to play something, would you stand together with us? Brother Daniel, standing right here in front of the pulpit, would love to pray with you if you need somebody to pray with you. But maybe you just need to come and commit some things to the Lord and say, Lord, it's yours. Lord, I'm signing back up. Whatever your need is, I trust that you would make that decision with the Lord. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's led you here and you'd like to come present yourself for membership, then come, please. I talked to a young man this morning that wants to be baptized. He's saved. He knows it. But now he wants to be baptized, and we'll do that in a service real soon. Maybe you'd like to take that opportunity as well. You say, Pastor, I'm not baptized. I'm saved. I know the Lord, but I ought to follow him and make a public profession through the baptismal waters. Then you come, present yourself, and we'll certainly do that real soon. As they continue to play, if the Lord's dealing with your heart, would you step out and come? You need somebody to pray with you, we'll be glad to do that. But you just want to come pray for yourself, and that's certainly fine as well. Please come. Mind the Lord. That's what they used to say in our churches back home. Y'all just mind the Lord. And that's certainly what everyone needs to do. Mind the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, we're blessed. Oh, we're so thankful. Lord, we're just beyond belief of how good you are to us. Help us, I pray, dear Lord, as we seek to serve you. And as the song, special that was sung about sharing the light, sending the light, oh, Lord, help us do it this week, I pray. We'll certainly thank you for each and every opportunity you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've got just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to be seated. If you need to slip out because of schedule and you've got to get somewhere, I understand that as well. We're usually done about this time. But I'm so thankful that Travis and Tiffany Taylor, they are joining the church. They're saved. They're baptized. And we're so thankful that God has led them to be here. And not only that, I'm going to slip down this way because also they've got a precious one. Now, this would be, for you that don't know, this is Judy's granddaughter and then great-grandson. Judy must be a great-grandmother, I guess. But Easton Benjamin Taylor, and their desire is to raise him to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're both saved, and they're joining the church today. Well, we need to take a motion for that. Have a motion. Brother Marty Scroggs makes that motion. Somebody seconds that. Brother Scott Martin, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Well, we got that out of the way. But even before this, their desire was to raise this little one to love Jesus Christ. And you understand, if you're a parent or a grandparent, the greatest thing that you can do for a child is to raise them to love Jesus Christ and accept Him as Savior. I don't care what college you send them to. I don't care how much advantage you give them. You've not done them any favors unless you've raised them. See, he even likes it. Unless you raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to love Jesus Christ. So little Easton Benjamin Taylor, I'm going to pray. But before we pray, I'd like for you to quote that verse with me, Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go when he is old and not depart from it. Would you quote that with me if you know it? You ready? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray your richest blessings on Easton. Lord, he's a blessing from heaven. We know where he comes from. I pray that you'd bless this couple. Lord, they want to stretch out and serve you and stretch out and raise him for your glory. Lord, we couldn't be more thrilled or more proud and happy for them. I pray that you'd protect him. I pray that you would guide them. I pray you would lead them. Dear Lord, we're looking forward to the day when he understands his need of Jesus Christ as Savior. You protect him till then, but we're looking forward to the time he bows his little head and ask Jesus to be his Savior. Lord, bless this family. Supply their needs. Supply their leading, we pray, as they stretch out to raise him for thee. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 This is for you. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Melina, did you leave us? She's right there. Why don't we turn around and get a picture here? Y'all just hold tight real quick for a moment. We want to be able to document this. Amen. 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 Thank you. Well, it's been a wonderfully blessed day, and of course, we are so excited about the Lord, what He's doing in our church, and I'm glad to just get to labor together and see it happen. But Brother Gabe mentioned it this week. There's got to be somebody, people, God's putting people in your path that aren't saved. If we don't tell them, who's going to? I know what we always wait. Well, God will bring somebody. Well, how about us? And let's take those opportunities. Well, as we dismiss, we'll close in a word of prayer. And we'll ask the lassies, if they don't mind, just to sit up this way. Or they can stand, of course, if they want. But just sit right there and come by and greet them. And I'm so thankful for Preacher Gene Lastly. He's a great blessing to me personally, but then to this church. And we can never repay the debt that we owe to him. But we certainly are honored, Preacher Lastly, to tell you thank you. And so I'm going to ask them just to stay up this way. I'm going to ask Brother Gabe and Ms. Susanna Rule to slip back to the lobby. And Amy and I'll go back that way as well. And we'll get a chance to greet you if you so choose. And if you need to slip on, I understand. I'm going to ask Brother Tory lastly, if you don't mind, to slip up the platform, pray for us. The rest of us can stand together. And they are so proud in a good way of their children, their two sons, their daughter, their son-in-law, daughter-in-law, all the rest of them. And they have a wonderful family. And Brother Tory serves over at Crown College over at Powell, Tennessee. And I'm going to ask him to dismiss us in prayer. Thank you, brother.
Our Father, we want to thank you that we all could be here today and hear your word preached. And we want to thank you for being faithful to this church for a long time and for leading my dad here and for his faithful service here. And we pray that each one of us would be able to live in such a way that when we stand before you, we would receive rewards and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.